Good morning, everyone. It is the second Monday, and that means we're going to talk about the Alliance for Building Community. And here with the Adams County Health Department is Trina Dietrich. And this morning, if you were listening to the newscast, you know that we talked a little bit about this mock exercise that's going to happen in early July to kind of test whether the health department, the emergency management services, and all of our first responders, Blessing Hospital, et cetera, are ready if there would be some kind of mock, or well, real disaster. So they're going to practice with a mock disaster. So Trina Dietrich, let's talk a little bit about this. It's simply a practice. People need not be alarmed. But what is the purpose of having over 1,000 people volunteer to be disaster victims? What are you trying to accomplish with this event? I believe it's July 5th and 6th.
Mm-hmm. July 5th and 6th, we are conducting a full-scale exercise within the community. We're going to have a lot of volunteers and need a lot of volunteers to practice, because in a real-life situation with a population of over 67,000 in Adams County, we want to make sure that we can get enough medicine to the people that need to have it at the time that they need it. And this is a way for us to practice to do it.
So this would be if there was some kind of terrorist attack, mm-hmm. and some anthrax or something was released, or maybe West Nile or Zika virus became very prevalent in this area and you had to treat for that. So you're really testing out the mass casualty ability.
We practice every year with our drive-through flu clinic because, you know, if you think about H1N1 and we had to do the mass inoculations of the population then, this is the same way. It's just another way for us to practice in a different venue, making sure, you know, we're stepping out of our comfort zone a little bit and making sure that, you know, things go right, and if they don't go right, then we need to make sure that we can fix those.
Yeah, while you're still practicing.
Yes, we're practicing.
Unfortunately, we have a very real-life situation that happened in Orlando, Florida over the weekend. A mass shooting, 50 people dead, 53 critically wounded, many more with just flesh wounds that were able to escape, maybe some just with cuts and scrapes from falling. Orlando seemed to be well prepared at the hospital there to take care of that. But, of course, I'm sure that they will be doing a debriefing and finding out what they could have done better. You hope that something like that would never happen in our area, but if it were to happen, is Adams County Health Department, are the police and fire departments, is Blessing Hospital, Quincy Medical Group, are they ready?
This is why we practice. I mean, this is a way for us to understand, you know, the dynamics of an event, the first responders practice their exercises, hazmat practices theirs, emergency management, and we are very fortunate that we all work together well and we're able to, and that's why this is a multifaceted, because we're also doing, it's Blessing Hospital, it's the health department, and it's emergency management all together in this exercise for the two-day event.
And you certainly don't know when something like this may strike, so you have to practice.
Exactly.
You're practicing on a very hot day, I'm sure. And you need people to volunteer. What will these volunteers be asked to do? Will they just be getting inoculations, or will they be bleeding, or what will they be doing?
Well, it's the two-day event. The first day, there'll be some volunteers that are going to be needed through Blessing Hospital to practice part of their part. But then on the 6th of July, from 10 to 2, we would like the public to come through our point of dispensing site, which would be where they are going to get a mock or a placebo medication. I'm not sure if it's going to be candy or what we're doing mm-hmm. to date yet. But
you've got to actually
right.
practice handing this out, or fake that you
yes.
will not use a real needle, or fake
yes.
injecting you. But the motion has to be gone through to see how long would it take. People stand in line. Mm-hmm. Some people recoil, don't want it, you know, so you have to practice all those scenarios.
Yeah, and we're gauging that it'll take about 35 minutes to go through the whole process, and then at the end we have someone helping us provide lunch for the people that go through. So if they want a snack afterwards, they're able to get a hot dog and chips.
Okay, so a hot dog and chips for those who agree to be part of the victims that are being treated. Now, will you have it at John Wood, or do you know yet where this will be?
We do know where it is, but we're not releasing
uh-huh.
yet. So okay. it will be, and if volunteers are interested and want more information, they're more than welcome to contact me at the health department, the 217-222-8440, and I'm more than glad to give more information. It will be in Quincy, so it'll be a local, so you might be able to do it on your lunch hour, if you wanted to do that. And we're asking that a lot of businesses try to participate in this as well, because we're also presenting becoming a closed point of dispensing site where a business can dispense to their employees and their families of the employees to get the medication out quicker. So if you want more information on that as well, that is something that we're presenting as well in the future.
It certainly is something we hope is never actually necessary, but certainly we must practice for it. Let's talk a little bit about West Nile virus. The Illinois Department of Public Health was pretty tight-lipped. They would just say that a child died. We think it's in Brown County. At least the child was from Brown County. They may not have died in Brown County, but somebody has become sickened. Actually, I don't think they died, right? They just got sickened by West Nile virus, so... Or maybe they passed away. I can't remember the details. How serious is West Nile virus? It's been around for a couple of years. Is there any treatment or precautionary? There's no vaccine for it or anything,
there's
right?
No vaccine for West Nile. And with West Nile and Zika, any of that is going to be the typical precautions. You want to make sure you're wearing your bug spray. You want to make sure you're not having standing water on your property. You want to make sure you're wearing long sleeves. You know, and at the prime times of the day when you're going to be outside and you know, to prevent getting bit if you can all possibly, and to use those DEET products because that's what's going to repel those bites.
But it doesn't DEET itself have some adverse effects?
Well, it may, but I'm not a nurse, so I really don't know a lot of that.
So you have to make up your mind. Do you want to get bit by a mosquito or do you want to, you know, put the DEET
right
on? So, but this West Nile virus, what's fascinating about this is... Many people may have already gotten it, but it was just such a mild form. Some people probably are naturally immune to it for whatever reason. I mean, this is the great thing about the human body and the mystery of these vaccines and stuff. We don't have a vaccine yet for West Nile virus, but when people get exposed to West Nile virus, can they identify an antibody in their blood that we could then garner for a vaccine? I'm asking you a medical question. Trina's like, Mary, do you see a stethoscope hanging around my neck? Don't ask me questions I can't answer. But it is amazing because right now we have treatment, but we don't have any precautionary, like take this pill and you won't get it.
No,
and
it's just the basic precautionary, actually for Zika and for West Nile, mm-hmm. from what they're reading and telling us at the health department level.
Now, Zika, though, that is pretty far-fetched that at this moment that could make it into the tri-states because these people are getting bitten overseas. There's no evidence at the moment that there are any mosquitoes in the United States that will give it to you.
At the current time, there are no known confirmed cases of someone contracting it in the United States. Someone has usually contracted it in another country and then came here. But the possibility of that person getting bit by one of our mosquitoes and it transferring over is very high. So that's why those cases are being monitored very closely if they are identified.
And a lot of people are coming to the United States for treatment because one of the ill side effects of having the Zika virus when you're pregnant is that your child is born usually with a smaller brain and mm-hmm. so needs some extra. A lot of people are concerned about the Olympics down in Rio de Janeiro. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, the Zika virus has some bad side effects for everyone, but especially for childbearing women. But right now at this moment, we don't have to be overly concerned about things like Zika and Ebola in our area. West Nile, yes, take the precautions. But again, that Ebola virus scare, I remember listening to congressional people, elected officials, saying it was going to sweep across America and become, you know, this outbreak that was going to kill hundreds of thousands of people. Well, it didn't. It was pretty well contained. That, again, is a good credit to the health system across the United mm-hmm. States because you never know when something like that's going to roll up on your emergency room or at your health clinic.
No, and we meet at the Health Department Emergency Management and Blessing Hospital. We meet almost weekly on various topics, and talking about what are things that we can do to prevent, what are things we can do to help. And, you know, we're looking at our plans in the event something does happen. And just know behind the scenes that we are meeting, we are thinking about the what ifs and what do we need to be prepared in the event that it does happen. And that's the reason why we're also practicing for our full scales, because we want to make sure that if it does happen, if anthrax or some form of bioterrorism does happen in our community, that we can't, heaven forbid, that we can you know, go through the process and help the community as needed.
Yeah, just think if everybody had to get an antidote to something like that, and you were literally trying to treat maybe as many as, you know, 60,000 people, you better have had a practice run because people will start to panic and there could be problems. So this is a very good exercise, July 5th and 6th, to help the Adams County Health Department and all the emergency responders, including Blessing Hospital, be prepared for that eventuality. And while we're preparing for all these really horrific things that could happen on a mass scale, most people don't even have an emergency kit in their home to help them with a tornado or a storm or the loss of electricity. So really, our preparedness level for the average person is pretty low. Sometimes when we have this terrorist attack in Orlando, I better rethink that and make sure I've got my water. But by and large, people are pretty complacent about emergency preparedness, aren't they?
Pretty much, yes. I mean, you really need to think about, you know, especially in our area with the windstorms that we've had in the past, with the tornadoes that could happen. You need to make sure that you and your family are prepared, that you have a communication plan, that you have your kit. And if you need information on what you need in your kit, you know, the health department is readily available for that. But just to make sure you have everything, even in your car, if you're traveling, you know, you'd always have the extra necessity in case you were to get stranded, your hazards, anything that you may need, you know, water is a big one. And, you know, not to forget your pets or the elderly and your medication as well. Those are some things I'll always think about.
And with summer here, put some bug spray in your emergency kit too, because if you were out and there was no electricity, you would be needing to protect against that. Trina Dietrich, my guest today, there will be this simulation. It's a mock disaster. No reason for anyone to get concerned. It's actually a wonderful thing. They're practicing what would happen if they had to inoculate a whole bunch of people against, an agent that was released by a terrorist group. Or what if there was a mass casualty because of a terrorist attack? These groups are preparing for this. I don't want people to get overly worried about it, but to know that they are preparing, and they need over 1,000 volunteers to help them go through this mock tragedy. So again, Trina, give us that phone number and they'll call to be put on the list.
217-222-8440, or you can look at the Adams County Health Department's website and sign up online.
We'll be back in a moment to continue our conversation. We're playing the theme from the Waltons because John Boy Walton, Richard Thomas, is 65 years old today. I'm back, and my conversation continues with Trina Dietrich from the Adams County Health Department. We're talking a little bit about how they're getting prepared. They're going to have this kind of simulated mock event that's going to happen on July 5th and 6th, and it's just a chance to get first responders and medical personnel and the Adams County Health Department, Blessing Hospital, et cetera, ready for what they would do. And you really have to practice this in a real-world setting, don't you, Trina? Talk about the advantages. You can sit at a table and talk about what you would do, but what is the advantage, Trina Dietrich, of doing this in real time with real people, volunteers? What's the advantage of really not just simulated it on a tabletop, but going through the mock disaster?
Well, going through the real-life situation of what it could be is very beneficial, because we want to make sure that we have our time span, because, you know, some of the medication that we need to get out to the public is in within a short time span. So we want to make sure that we are able to have enough people go through and be able to inoculate those people in a timely fashion. So in the event that there is a real-life situation that they are not waiting, you know, hours to get their medication, and sometimes we have no control over that because we have to have the medication in order to give it, but we want to make sure that if going through the process and making sure, you know, that you're testing those processes to see what we can do to make it better for the public.
For example, you will be literally calling some bank where these medications are kept, because the Adams County Health Department does not keep on hand an anthrax antidote for 50,000 people. But there are places stockpiled around the United States where these kind of things are available. Mm-hmm. So it's how that also can get delivered here.
Yeah, because the whole process is it gets delivered to us from the Strategic National Stockpile, which within 12 to 24 hours, and we want to be up and ready and ready to serve the public within that 24-hour time frame so we can get the medication out as quickly as possible.
Wow, you still think about 24 hours being a long time, though. But it's really short when you have, boy, when you're
setting up a site, it's not so short.
No, it's not. And when you're the one that's already been exposed to something, it's certainly not short at all. And so, of course, they need volunteers. Before I let you go, we've talked a little bit about emergency preparedness. You know, it's still tornado season. We could always lose power in a windstorm. Lots of things, unfortunately, we hear a lot of traffic accidents. This weekend was a horrible weekend for traffic accidents in the tri-state area. So, again, having children properly belted in a infant carrier or a toddler seat, those things are critically important. And the Adams County Health Department helps with that by checking on these things and making sure they're properly installed, right?
Definitely. We do car seat checks once a month at Central Fire Station as well as by appointment basis at the Health Department and at Central Fire Station as well.
No, I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, oh, we'll just move the car seat. I said, oh, I hate you to do that because I know you've got it installed correctly. And they said, oh, it's really easy to put back in and take out. And I thought to myself, oh, I bet it's not really properly installed. So many people just don't have their car seats properly installed.
90% of the seats that go through a car seat check are not properly installed, but we do walk through with the parents because they do have to do it themselves, and we like to have their input in installing with car seats.
Okay. So, folks, if you have any kind of need, whether that is, we didn't have very bad flu season this year, or did I?
It wasn't horribly bad.
I didn't hear a whole lot about, you know, the hospital being overrun with flu. So it looks like, you know, some of our health issues are under control for the moment. Do wear that mosquito bite protection because that'll protect you against West Nile. And if you think you have West Nile, get right to your physician because, again, they need to diagnose it so that we know that that type of mosquito is in our area and is biting. Because if mama bites you, babies are going to bite you. That won't be pretty at all. Trina, thank you so very much. You have a great
day. Thank you.
Oh, a little blast from the past with Bandstand. Good morning, everyone. It is Monday. I'm Mary Griffith. We do enjoy talking about health, and we're going to continue that health conversation this Monday morning. And I'm going to learn about something I don't think I've ever even heard of before, and that is Chiari malformation. It's spelled C-H-I-A-R-I. And we have Nikki Bowden here, and Nikki was born with this, but she didn't find out she had it until she was an adult. And it's kind of an interesting story. We won't have time to go into all of it, but let's talk a little bit first. What is Chiari malformation, Nikki Bowden?
Well, Chiari malformation is a neurological disorder where part of your brain actually pushes out of the bottom end of your skull into your spinal area, causing pressure. It causes CSF blockage, which is cerebral spinal fluid. It results in compression of parts of the brain and spinal cord and disrupts normal flow, which can cause a multitude of symptoms.
So your brain is literally coming out of the back of your skull.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
You're so smart, your brain won't fit in your head.
My dad always says, well, I always said you got your brain from me.
But the interesting thing is, when you went and you were trying to be diagnosed with what was wrong with you, they misdiagnosed it as multiple sclerosis, MS.
Well, before that even, they misdiagnosed it as fibromyalgia, growing pains when I was younger, and I think I've had probably every test under the sun that there is for trigger points and all the different tests that they do. And then last year they put a heart monitor in me and said, well, we need to do a nuclear stress test and then a tilt table test. And then 2 days before my bridal shower, I think, we had my first brain scan. And then 45 days before my wedding, we found out that I had this.
So it was the brain scan that eventually showed the malformation. And the thing about it is, I'm kind of surprised. Do people die of this? I mean, do children die of this without ever being diagnosed?
They can be. Part of the problem is there's multiple types of Chiari. And actually, spina bifida, which most people have heard of, is Chiari type 2.
Okay.
That is part of Chiari, just most people don't realize that it's the same thing.
Okay. So you're obviously a survivor of this, and you have been a survivor really without treatment for a long time. After they found out this is what you have, I mean, this is the way your body has grown, and you're a grown woman, so what's the treatment for this?
Unfortunately, there is no cure. The only treatment is brain surgery. My surgery is actually scheduled for 1 week from today. I'll be having brain surgery.
And what does that entail?
It means that they will go in. I'm actually having my hair shaved tomorrow because my hair's clear down to my waist.
Are you going to have it locks of love or
whatever? Well, I'm not going to do locks of love because they actually charge people for the wig.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to do either wigs for kids or Pantene because they don't. But I'm going to have my hair shaved. That way I kind of have control of it. And then they will cut into my skull in the back, remove part of my skull, take a skin graft from my leg and patch it so that it has more room for my brain.
So literally your brain's too big.
Literally, yeah.
Does your husband agree with you?
Oh, yeah. He tells me my head's too big. Plenty.
So this obviously is a way to fix it. They literally have to enlarge your skull.
Yeah.
They have to give more room for your brain, which is now bulging out of the bottom. And I imagine there's a certain amount of risk associated with this surgery. I think anybody a week away from surgery would have trepidation. You can be honest and big girl. Are you scared?
I am and I'm not at the same time. We went kind of all over looking for a really good surgeon. We've been to Chicago, Peoria, St. Louis, and I'm actually having it done here. We met with Dr. Reynolds at QMG, and when we pulled up, I felt like it was going to be a good appointment. I told my husband, I said, I just have a really good feeling about this. And we got in there and we met with him, and he answered questions that none of the other surgeons had addressed. He addressed all of the sister conditions, as I call them, because there's so many that go along with it. Once you have Chiari and you start getting the right diagnosis, you find out that you have all these other things that go along with it.
So you're symptomatic in a lot of ways, and you're hoping that some of these things will then, will they be alleviated by this surgery, or will they just not progress?
The hope is that it will alleviate some of them, but there is no guarantees that it will change anything. There's no cure. It won't fix anything. The main thing that it will do is hopefully keep it from progressing, at least for a while. There are people that have to have multiple surgeries. There are people that have CSF leaks once it happens. So anything can happen, unfortunately. It's brain surgery. You know, he's never hit somebody's brainstem and paralyzed them, but anything can happen. We, of course, have, you know, high hopes and don't think something like
right.
that's going to happen.
Well, that's a very minuscule possibility.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
Well, we're talking today about Chiari malformation, and here's the medical definition. A serious neurological disorder where the bottom part of the brain, the cerebellum, descends out of the skull and crowds the spinal cord, putting pressure on both the brain and spine and disrupting the normal flow of cerebrospinal fluid. Wow. So that's what it's all about. Now, severe headaches. I mean, tell us about some of the symptoms you had and how? When was the first time you really started seeking some kind of help? We know you're just recently with the correct diagnosis that was Chiari, and yet it says here in the fact sheet you gave me that about 1 in 1,000 people have it. So why isn't it more properly diagnosed? That seems not that rare.
It's not, and that's the thing. It's considered a rare disease when it's not. It's unknown. It's not rare. It's unknown. It affects 1 in 1,000 people. That is not rare. The thing is, half those people that have Chiari won't have symptoms. They'll be asymptomatic. They won't have problems. But the other half may have a lot of symptoms. Not everybody ends up having to have the brain decompression. It really goes by the symptoms that you have. For me personally, I will sometimes slur my words. I will lose my train of thought. I will forget what I'm saying in the middle of what I'm saying and look at my husband and be like, what was I just talking about? I will pass out. I can't drive anymore until after my surgery. The doctor has told me I can't drive because my vision's been getting worse. Headaches that are so bad they keep you up for days on end, and like right now before surgery I can't take my Excedrin, so I'll be having migraine shots later today sometime to help.
Wow. So this really has, even though I meet you for the first time, I would never know there was quote anything wrong with you. you're perky, you're alert, you're active, you've got a great disposition. But you've been suffering for this for a long time, and it says here some people have trouble bending over. They can't lift heavy objects. It's hard for them to walk very far, work on a computer. Sometimes loud noises bother you. Here's the one I love, perform household chores. I'm going to tell my husband that that's the only symptom I have, and I maybe have this disease, which, as you say, is not rare. It's just unknown. So
yeah.
You're going to have a walk. You're coming up. First of all, we wish you all the luck.
Thank you.
In the world. And I hope whatever symptoms you have, like the headaches and everything, I hope it completely clears that up. It's kind of intriguing that they're going to take a flap of skin from your leg and basically expand your skull, and it's just going to be really intriguing how this is going to work. It's amazing what modern medicine can do. It's also amazing that you don't have to go someplace to a big, you know, center, that they're going to do this right here in Quincy.
Yeah.
So I think that is amazing. So there's going to be a charity walk on September 17th to raise money and to raise awareness. Because, again, I have never even heard of this. And I've done Disease of the Month. I'm in my 28th year at WTAD, and I thought I'd heard everything that anybody could possibly have. So how many other people are like this in this area?
Well, I have personally found about 20 other people in this area. We talked to Dr. Reynolds about it. He does 10 of these surgeries a year in this area, and he says it's because people came to this area, you know, in the 1800s and never left. And so after years and years of the same families, it just kind of happens, unfortunately. He said,
so it is kind of a birth defect.
It is a birth defect.
Are you worried about your own children having this?
We will not be having children. I had other medical issues that help with that as well, so we'll be adopting ourselves. But I worry about my siblings. I worry about my nieces and nephews. I am pushing my brother and my niece's mother to get her checked. She's not quite two yet. My sister has gotten checked because she has a lot of the same medical issues that I do. Her kids are going to get checked. You know, I do have nieces, nephews, siblings that I worry about.
Because you had to be the pathfinder and go through all this pain and anxiety and agony thinking you had all these other things when it was Chiari. So now they can take the brain scan. You can't see it on the radio, folks, but she has very clearly here a picture of the average normal, whatever that is, and then somebody who has Chiari. And you can just see that basically their brain just slips down outside of their skull.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine that that could cause, you know, all kinds of complications. And again, if you can diagnose that early enough, then at least you know why you're having the symptoms and you can work towards a resolution through surgery or something else. Because I imagine that just symptomatically, you could take an Excedrin every day for the rest of your life, but that's not really an option either for your liver and kidneys.
Yeah, I take about 12 a day on average, if not more.
Wow.
Yeah, my husband and my dad yell at me quite a bit about it. But
your kidney and liver function, you know, you can't keep that up. I mean, that's obvious. So hopefully this will work. So this walk is on September 17th. We're giving it a pretty long run. And there, in addition to the walk, there's also going to be a poker run.
Yes.
So how can people find out more information? How can they conquer Chiari, as it's called?
Well, if they want to find us on Facebook, we have a local Facebook page. You can just search CCWAA Quincy. That's the short version of Conquer Chiari Walk Across America. You can also go to conquerchiari.org. If you go there and want to register, at the top of the page, you can hit awareness, then walk awareness, and then the walk site's 2016, and then at the top of the page, you can register there. You can also email me if you want to, conquerchiariquincy@gmail.com. Any way that you want to try to find out information, we are here. And also this year, the governor of Illinois has proclaimed that September will be Chiari Awareness Month for the state of Illinois.
That's great. Because, again, I have never even heard of this thing. Chiari sounds like a beautiful name for an Italian girl or something. I mean, it was actually named after the doctor that discovered it. Okay, so you know of at least 20 people that have it. Maybe after this show, some other people might want to get involved. So definitely go to the Conquer Chiari site and, you know, try to get linked up with these ladies. And the other thing is, learn a little bit about it. Maybe you have been misdiagnosed. Maybe you think you have one thing and you really have something else. The only true way to diagnose it, I guess, is to get that scan of your brain. Because until you get that x-ray or scan of your brain, it's actually the way the brain sits.
Exactly.
At the top of your spinal column. And if it's outside of your skull, that's a no-brainer, literally.
Literally.
I mean, you see it so clearly.
Yeah. They did all these different tests on me, but they never did a brain scan until last year. And then there it was. It was just clear as a you know, could be. Clear as a picture.
You know, isn't it funny? Doctors seem to want to give me every test known to man, some of which I can't imagine I need. But, you know, the one test you could have benefited from years ago.
Right.
Well, I applaud you for your courage because you found this out right before you got married. You still went ahead and got married. Applaud your husband, too.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Of course, he knew you had a big brain, so you know, he knew a long time. And now he's going to be standing by you as you go through this surgery. I know everything will turn out great, and I hope all your symptoms are alleviated, too. And then that will be an even better day for you, won't
it? We hope. You know, that's all you can do is hope. There's no guarantees, but we hope. And if nothing else, we're keeping it from getting worse.
Had you ever heard of this until they told
you?
I had never heard of it.
Yeah. You know, I really, when they did the original brain scan, they said, oh, there's 3 ischemic lesions consistent with MS, but my primary doctor didn't believe that it was MS, and he pushed and got me in with a neurologist, and that's how it was diagnosed. I mean, I've been to doctors in Columbia, St. Charles, St. Louis, never found it, and they found it in Quincy.
Okay. Good for Quincy. But as you say, some of it may be because there's so many people here that have it genetically.
True.
So here's my advice today. If you think you have the symptoms, discuss it with your doctor, and please quit marrying your cousin. And a lot of these problems will go away on their own. Thank you very, very much, Nikki Bowden. I know you were nervous. I applaud you for your poise and your dignity. We wish you all the best. Please let us know how it turns out, and come back and talk to us closer to September 17th.
Thank you.
Because now that you've done the radio, brain surgery.
Now I can do this.
Brain surgery is nothing compared to being with mean old Mary Griffith. You never know what she's going to do to you. At least with a doctor, you're out cold.
This is true.
Good luck to you.